the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
In the studio, Pancakes and Power Slam studio, I am Chris Featherstone, your host. Derek, our real correspondent, flavor of the week connoisseur, will be here shortly. But until then, we will head on to the Raw episode. Of course, we have a lot to cover with Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, and ROH. And the flavor of the week this week is going, we're going to talk about pro wrestling tragic deaths. Derek is going to talk about in depth five of them, and we're going to also just throw some names out of those who unfortunately died tragically in the that are notable pro wrestlers. So we're going to get to that later on, of course, the final segment of the evening. Until then, let's start with our first trivia question of the night. What was Nikita Koloff's finishing move called? What was Nikita Koloff's finishing move called? Of course, for all of our new listeners, thank you so much for listening. We continue to thrive and to be one of the hottest shows on Tuesday evenings. So I'm definitely very, very excited to continue to grow. We're just continuing to just be one of the best shows on Tuesday nights and one of the most popular wrestling shows of the week. Just continuing our Pancakes and Power Slams interview series. We got some really fun names coming up the pike. And, of course, recently we had ROH star Caprice Coleman. So many, many, many fun things in store for Pancakes and Power Slams. And, of course, we will just continue to give you the top news and have a great time doing it. So I want to thank you all for continuing to support the show. And definitely I would just implore you to support financially through PayPal, cravewrestling@gmail.com. If you have any flavor of the week topics, also cravewrestling@gmail.com. And follow us at Twitter, on Twitter at Crave Wrestling, Facebook Crave Wrestling, and check out my articles on the Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, and also my articles on WrestlingInc.com. All right. Again, the question is, what was Nikita Koloff's finishing move called? And also, I want to, also like I have been doing, I want to address the advertising and sponsorship opportunities that the show is now offering, opening up for all those who would like to advertise their products on the show. CraveWrestling@gmail.com is the email to refer to, and let us know. Let us know, you know, your product. Let us know what you do and what you're trying to expose. We have a very, very vast number of people who listen to and watch to and listen to the show through whether it be live, whether it be subscribing on iTunes, and of course other avenues such as WrestlingInc.com and also Bleacher Report. So many different outlets that we cater to. So CraveWrestling@gmail.com is the email to go to for sponsorship and advertising opportunities. I'm almost at 3 million readers on Bleacher Report, and so that number just continue to grow. So be sure to take advantage of that opportunity. CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Let us know what you want us to plug. All right, let's get to Raw. Raw first starts off with Daniel Bryan addressing Vince McMahon and Brad Maddox in the ring. Brad Maddox steps aside, and we get to a conversation between Vince McMahon and Daniel Bryan. They exchange words in the ring. Very interesting segment, because I really sensed that there was some legitimate shoot work there. And I think that they're just trying to kind of flesh it out on TV. But it does seem like there were some legitimate words that was shared in that segment there. It's been no secret that Vince McMahon has been very leery of pushing Daniel Bryan. So it was very, very interesting to see that for sure. But you know, it's one of those things that it will be to the betterment of Daniel Bryan, because it really seems that as if, since it is exposed, since it is on TV now, it really appears as if Vince McMahon is going ahead and giving Daniel Bryan the baton, so to speak. I mean, that's a big deal, and to make conversation like that on live television, more power to Vince McMahon to feel confident in Daniel Bryan. I mean, you know, he's a money guy, so, and rightfully so. He's a promoter, so that's what he does. He looks for money in people. So Daniel Bryan's that guy now, and we can't, you know, with Daniel Bryan's crowd support, with Daniel Bryan's pure athleticism, phenomenal talent in the ring, you just can't shy away from that. And Vince McMahon has taken advantage of it, and he should. So I think it was a good segment. I think it was a good, even a better way to push Daniel Bryan. And I'm definitely looking forward to what this will actually, you know, turn into. Because all roads are pointing to Daniel Bryan winning at SummerSlam, but not that confident that it may happen, especially when Mr. Man is saying that, "I don't think that Daniel Bryan could beat John Cena. I don't think he has what it takes. I'm looking for someone to beat John Cena, not some, you know, half pint troll like Daniel Bryan." You know, making those type of comments on TV. Hopefully has a good payoff to it. If not, Daniel Bryan will prove himself in the ring once again, and that's what got him here. The Shield defeats Mark Henry and the Usos. Now, I was really, really hoping that this match would be on SummerSlam and not the rumored handicap match with Mark Henry and the Big Show against the Shield, but Shield gets a clean win against the trio of Mark Henry and the Usos. So it appears as if, unfortunately, we may get that handicap match, and I'm definitely not looking forward to it. It just looks like it just seems like it's going to be real slow. I don't see any benefit to it. Usos are red hot, and I just don't think it'll benefit anyone. Ambrose need to be in a U.S. title match at SummerSlam. He's the U.S. champ, and he does not do much of a good job with really with livening up the U.S. title scene. That's the problem with the mid-card titles at the moment. Axel, he's being pubbed as you know one of the greatest intercontinental champions in history, as Paul Heyman definitely touts him to be. But he hasn't been, I mean, other than The Miz, then what? I mean, you know, this is SummerSlam. This is the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, and you got a couple weeks left. He should be in a very, I mean, the Intercontinental title picture should be very, very clear-cut. And there's no one that Axel is feuding with right now. That's a mistake. There's no one that Ambrose is feuding with. That's a mistake. So something needs to be done with the mid-card titles. I mean, the mid-card titles already has such a stigma of being irrelevant now. And you put them on people like Axel, you put them on people like Ambrose to, you know, to make them relevant again, and then they're hardly ever defended. So something needs to be done with that fast. And putting Ambrose in a handicap match against possibly the Big Show and Mark Henry, that does absolutely nothing. I would love to see RVD versus Ambrose, Christian versus Ambrose. Actually, I prefer Christian and RVD in the world title scene. Hopefully we get a triple threat match at at SummerSlam with Christian, RVD, and Alberto Del Rio, because Christian and RVD have current feuds with Del Rio. So, you know, that would be a better option. But someone needs to be feuding with Ambrose right now. There's a mid-card star. There's a mid-card superstar that, you know, would be okay. Even Mark Henry, you know, Mark Henry would be a viable option to feud against Dean Ambrose at the current time. And then, you know, possible gimmick match such as a ladder match or something to that nature with the Usos and the Shield. I wrote an article on a Bleacher Report today about the chances of the Usos being on SummerSlam is looking slim. And it's very unfortunate. Usos is my favorite tag team, one of the most polished tag teams in the division, but unfortunately, the over 3 years they've been on WWE TV, they have not won one single tag team championship. That is a huge problem with the failing tag team division over the past year. So they try to revive it. The Shield, Rollins and Reigns is not doing much to bring any bring prestige back to it. They need to really concentrate on what they have. And they have a decent list of tag teams right now. Tons of Funk, Primetime Players, Primo and Epico, of course the Usos, 3MB, even you know, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Of course, the Shield Tag Team Champions, Road Scholars is done, but of course you can throw, you know, two people, bring up the Ascension. You know, there's options that that can be done, you know, as far as the tag team division is concerned. So hopefully we'll see better days in the tag team division sooner than later. All right, next we have the RVD defeating Fandango by countout. Doesn't do much of anything for Fandango other than just continue to bury his name. Fandango's not really doing much, and it goes back to the whole Jericho thing. Is he really putting people over? Not really. Based on where they end up. And Fandango, I mean, he had a good match against Randy Orton. And honestly, I think that's because the crowd was so hype and it provided a lot more motivation. But, you know, losing clean to Christian, count out victory, you know, count out by RVD. You know, I suppose that they try to save, you know, Fandango's integrity by a count out, but he's not over. Summer Rae seems to be more over than he is. So, like I said before, I liken Fandango to Val Venus, and I think that he may be... He maybe wouldn't even reach that, because at least Val Venus was Intercontinental Champion, European Champion, although that title's defunct. And Sean Morley was a Tag Team Champion, so he was a solid mid card throughout his career. And Fandango, not quite sure, might be a flash in the pan. Again. What is Nikita Koloff's finishing move called? Tweet at Crave Wrestling for the answer, or log into the always fun chat room. Next, we have Kaitlyn defeating AJ. Quite a bore of a match, to be honest. Their match at Payback was good, but I don't think that we'll get that again. This feud just has to go. I mean, it just really shows the lack of depth in the tag and in the Divas division right now. And you have people. By the way, congratulations to Paige. She won she's the first ever NXT Divas champion. Very poignant end of the women's title tournament of the Divas title tournament, defeating Emma in the finals. Was congratulated by the Divas, the WWE Divas, and also Triple H. And she also has an interview, an exclusive interview on WWE.com that I reported on WrestlingInc.com. But there's a lot of, there's a lot of possibility. Of course, you have Alicia Fox, you have Natalya, you have the Bellas, you have the Funkadactyls. Even Marie and JoJo would be, you know, at least in NXT. I don't know how far they'll go. But, I mean, there's, of course, Tamina Snuka. There's a decent handful of talent that you have. And, of course, you know, bring up any diva. I mean, Summer Rae can wrestle. She was in NXT. So you have enough. I mean, you have enough to have a decent division at least. And I really think that they can, be able to revive the division. So, again, the finishing move for the The finishing move for Nikita Koloff. All right. Looks like we are having a little bit of technical difficulties. We'll be right back. We'll pop the intro music on, and we'll be back after the difficulties are over. So here we go. Be right back.
Yeah, you already know what time it is. It's that official time when we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off.
All righty. Chat room or tweet. Let me know if That's a better signal. All righty. Thank you so much for your wait. And again, I apologize for the technical technical issues, but we are back at it here. Alrighty, so next we have Dolph Ziggler defeated Big E Langston by disqualification. AJ Lee interferes. Like I said before, that's a good feud going on there. Definitely one of the best built feuds for SummerSlam. I definitely think that a match between them two, we saw a little bit of it on Raw, and it was decent. And I definitely think that we will indeed get a good match between those two at WrestleMania. Big E is a good wrestler. I think he's definitely his wrestling abilities aren't touted about very much, but I definitely think that he's a good wrestler. And I think that Big E Langston is someone who has a very promising future in the WWE. Just get out of that singlet. At least modify it a little bit. Yikes. All right, and then we had Christian defeating Alberto Del Rio. Like I said, once again, this is what Christian needs. And I wrote, like I said many times before, WrestlingE.com, or the SmackDown review every week. And when Christian he won on SmackDown, he beat Jack Swagger. This is what I said. I mean, this is what Christian needs. Mid card to even main event wins like this to really rally himself, kind of like what he did in the Intercontinental title scene early last year. This will give him fan support. And this is exactly what he needed. Hopefully, he's still promoting the one more match, and I think that let's see here, it definitely will add him to the title scene. I mean, with his one more match. Ploy, well, his command or his quest for one more match it definitely gives him the opportunity to, hopefully get that match at SummerSlam. So, good win by Christian, and like I said, definitely what he needs to become a star. Again, Cody Rhodes defeats Wade Barrett. Again, something that Cody Rhodes needs to help him as a babyface. Damian Sandow appears post-match, says he's filed a complaint. Daniel Bryan defeats Kane. Now, here's my gripe about this. Kane chokeslams Daniel Bryan post-match. Wyatt family appears and attacks Kane. Here's my gripe about this. Good job. The Russian sickle is the correct answer. Kane doesn't win many matches, so how are we supposed to believe that Kane is a viable opponent for Bray Wyatt? Unless this leads to a Kane heel turn as a result of joining the Wyatt family, and what does that do? Does that eventually turn Kane to babyface, in which he'll lose more matches? Kane is probably one of, other than Chris Jericho, Kane is probably one of the worst booked main eventers in the past 15 years of the WWE. Just horribly booked. There's no way with someone the physical stature and the athletic ability for the physical stature of Kane to have the win-loss record that Kane does. It's embarrassingly has became an upset. And it's sad that Kane, in many cases, comes into a match the underdog, that we many people think that Kane's going to lose a match. And it's really sad. Kane definitely should not be booked that way. Absolutely should not be booked that way. And it's really sad. It's really tragic that happens. So we'll have Derek, our world correspondent, here shortly. But, you know, I definitely don't think that they should do that. I definitely think it's just a horrible way to book Kane. And what does it really mean? Bray Wyatt beats Kane in SummerSlam. We knew that was going to happen. Does that really thrust Bray Wyatt further into does it ascend him in some fashion? I don't think so, honestly. So Kane needs one last push. He's had a heck of a career, and to book him the way that he's been booked for so long, it's just an absolute travesty. But until then, doesn't seem like we'll get more out of Kane other than some Wyatt family beat-ups and most likely a loss at SummerSlam. Brie Bella defeats Natalya. I mean, I understand the point with the whole E! Total Divas. Which is actually a good program. So, watch that on E! It was actually pretty suspenseful. So I'm looking forward to see it more. And I can say that with a straight face as a heterosexual man. I can watch E! Total Divas. but yeah, it's not too bad of a show. So I imagine that's what the match was stemmed from. They showed some stuff from backstage that kind of led to that. But Natalya, she really showed on Total Divas that, you know, she kind of gets overlooked. And this match kind of proved it. Just the whole quack-quack thing. I wasn't a big fan of it. It was just kind of wasteful to me. Hopefully it leads to something a little bit more. Hopefully it leads to Natalya as the next person in line for the Divas title. Matches between Natalya and AJ would be quite good. So, yeah, that would be great. Alrighty. Next we have Curtis Axel defeats R-Truth. Punk attacks Axel, tries to go for Heyman, but Axel prevents and Heyman retreats. I can see a Punk versus Axel match before SummerSlam. So this could very well be, Axel could very well be a buffer for CM Punk. All right, brief pause there, and we're back. John Cena defeats Ryback in a tables match. Yeah, we kind of figured that was going to happen. No apparent direction for Ryback. I have no idea why him and Jericho was a match at Payback. Maybe just a throwaway match that plays both of them. Money in the Bank. Maybe just a throwaway match to put the place both of them, but just absolutely no point in doing that. Don't understand why that was done. I don't understand a direction for Ryback. It's quite pointless. And they're making him this cocky, intimidating heel for what? I mean, what does that lead to? He's already failed in the main event, so I don't know, maybe involve himself in a big feud, maybe RVD, something like that. I don't see anything in Ryback anymore. I was on the Ryback train, and I'm gone. I definitely think that he needs to be just repackaged in some way. His heel run, people were for it, but him as a heel just makes absolutely no sense now. It doesn't lead him nowhere. He's like in a dead end. It'd be better right now if he was a babyface going for the World Heavyweight title, but Feed Me More. He doesn't even have any chance anymore. And the Ryback rules, nobody really cares about. So it's unfortunate because he had some potential, but I don't see anything left in the Ryback. And unfortunately, Ryback, his current state compared to how he was last year, just bad news. And something really has to be done really quick with Ryback, or else it's just a done deal. All right, we have our Raw correspondent Derek on the air to let us know his thoughts this week. Live on air, sir.
Feed me boar. Feed me boar. Feed me boar. That's how I feel about Ryback. He's boring, that's what he said. I don't think there's anything Ryback can do to really come back from what he's supposedly tried to accomplish. But he is in WWE, so he's boring. He once had the intensity of somebody that could be reckoned with, and now he's got the intensity of Norman Smiley. So let's get started. With Monday Night Raw last night, Raw recap, Derek the Raw correspondent on Pancakes and Power Slams, live with Chris Featherstone, McMahon, and Brad Maddox. Maddox apologizes for letting Cena choose his opponent for SummerSlam. McMahon berates him. He berates Daniel Bryan. Bryan gets the crowd behind him. So, yeah, we got Brad Maddox and you got Vince McMahon. Maddox isn't really much of anything. He's a Raw general manager, of course. It was a good way to start off Monday Night Raw. And so you start off Raw with getting behind Daniel Bryan, realizing everything he's done. The Shield comes out versus Mark Henry and the Usos. The Shield totally lost their heat wrestling the Usos. The Shield is almost a nobody anymore. Hey, the Shield's coming out great. Yeah, that's too bad. There's a lot of talent on that team. There was a lot of promise behind them when they started. They almost had the spark of a reborn NWO. Reborn Click, that has really nothing to do with them anymore. They can still regain it. They need a new direction. They need something to stir up the pot and the Shield. I mean, Mark Henry, he's a great contender. After losing to Cena, not so much anymore. You still have the Usos, but again, the Shield needs to be doing much bigger, much better. You know, Kane sends a message to the Wyatts backstage wanting to know what the Wyatts are about, what they have to do with Kane. RVD versus Fandango. Fandango walks away and gets counted out. I understand that. Fandango, he needs to save himself for somebody great. I love RVD. RVD is, he's the aerial champion. I'm still a Fandango believer, thinking he can do something a lot better than what's going on right now. But I do love RVD. I've got a soft spot for him. I want RVD to continue to grow on Monday Night Raw. And, of course, Fandango. AJ versus Caitlyn, a typical Divas tangle. Ziggler confronts Langston. The next match breaks out against Ziggler and Langston. And AJ continues to cry and screaming. It's really unappealing anymore. Not a big fan of the Divas division. I haven't been for a long time. I still want to see improvement within that. But the Ziggler and Langston, a decent match. So I'm going to give it that much. The men can always make it a little better for the Divas. It used to not be that way. I want it to continue as far as I want the Divas to prevail. I want to be intrigued by the Divas like I used to be. So far, it's just been such a total stalemate. After that, you got Christian versus Alberto Del Rio. Great match. Del Rio targets Christian's shoulder, which has been bugging him for a while. Another great win for Christian. He overcomes Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio has been a bit of a staple for WWE in the past, especially for Raw, certain pay-per-views. But you can never go wrong with Christian. I continue to want to see Christian grow. He amazes me. He's been around since 1998. I want Christian to continue, again, to grow. He's somebody I always look forward to seeing on Monday Night Raw. And he's proven himself over the years. After that, Barrett versus Cody Rhodes. Again, another good match. Sandow comes out. He belittles Rhodes. Obviously, this team is done. And you're only going to see Cody Rhodes get a better defense across Sandow. Kane and Bryan, I love Team Hell No. It was a great, and again, a great match. Kane chokeslams Bryan after the pin. Wyatt appears, ambushes Kane. It almost seems like a deliverance. The Wyatts, to me, have kind of worn out their welcome so far. The hype lived up better to what's really going on.
Yes.
I'm not totally intrigued by it. So after that, you got Curtis Axel versus R-Truth. CM Punk rushes to interfere with Axel. Chases Heyman, then attacks Axel. A good thing for CM Punk. We understand what's going on with him. We understand that he really dislikes Paul Heyman for now. So Cena versus Ryback. Again, I was poking fun at Ryback earlier. Feed me boar. Ryback is so boring anymore. Mediocre match. Nothing much to talk about. Bryan walks out and pretends to hand Cena the belt. Cena rips it from him. Chris Featherstone, let's talk about what you got to say and what's going on else in the world of professional wrestling. Thank you.
All righty. Looks like we got some type of classical music interference here. Well, hopefully we are on here. Yeah. Well, just let us know. We got some commenting in the chat room that there's some classical music playing. Thank you all for still holding on and logging on to the chat room and conversing through there. Let's see here. Yeah. All right, looks like we got Derek, our Raw correspondent, back on the air. He's got more to say.
I don't have a whole lot more to say. I'm coming having trouble listening to the broadcast tonight. I just want to hear what you have to say and continue going. So, and I'll fill in later for Flavor of the Week. So,
yeah,
hear your opinion.
Yeah, call in. Call in 347-884-8452. It looks like we're having a little, some difficulties here. Hopefully we can get that hashed out. Hopefully. I was told through the chat room that there is some classical music playing. And I was told... I was told by a few sources that there's classical music playing on air in place of this show. But we are live. We are here live. So if anybody can hear us live on air, go to the chat room or go to Crave Wrestling. And we'll just have fun in the chat room. So right now we're going to talk about the best diva in the WWE. And so go ahead and answer that there. Yeah. We'll just converse in the chat room. And we'll just take it from there. But we'll try to do some SmackDown here. Randy Orton defeats Damian Sandow, distracted by Cody Rhodes. CM Punk promo interrupted by Fandango. Punk takes out Fandango. Mark Henry and the Usos defeats Wade, Barrett, and Primetime Players. Alberto Del Rio defeats RVD, AJ and Dolph segment. AJ trashes Ziggler's suitcase, eventually gets speared by Caitlyn. Big E tries to tend to her, gets famouser by Ziggler outside ring. And then we have Luke Harper and Eric Rowan making their TV debut, Raw or SmackDown. They feed Tons of Funk. Bray Wyatt executes Sister Abigail finisher on Tensai and cuts promo to Kane. Christian defeats Jack Swagger. Damian Sandow comes out and orders Cody Rhodes to be penalized for stealing his Money in the Bank case. Cody appears on the Titantron in front of the Gulf of Mexico and tells Sandow to come get the case. Sandow goes to Cody and try to convince him not to throw it in the Gulf, but he does. Fantastic. Fantastic ending to SmackDown. Really happy that they're deciding to push Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. Well, let's go to Impact Wrestling. Sorry for the problems of the show here. We have an in-ring promo by Main Event Mafia, introduces Chris Sabin. Sabin cuts promo, issues champion versus champion match next week. Bully Ray comes out with the attorney, looks remarkably like Kevin Nash. Manic defeats Greg Maraschino and Sanjay Dutt to become an Ultimate X Master to become a new X Division champion. Mr. Anderson defeats Hernandez to gain some points in the Bound for Glory series. Mickey James defeats Gail Kim. Gail Kim and ODB gets into it post-match. Christopher Daniels defeats Samoa Joe. Great match by there. Interference by Mr. Anderson. AJ Styles defeats Jeff Hardy by submission to gain 10 points. And then Hulk Hogan keeps title on Sabin and books a match of Sabin versus Bully Ray at Hardcore Justice on August the 15th. And then finally, ROH, American Wolves defeats Mike Seidel and Zizou Madu. And then ROH defeats Scum in Steelcase Warfare, causing Scum to be forced to disband. All right, let's get our flavor of the week. I'm going to hand it to Derek, our Raw correspondent. Take it away.
Wow, flavor of the week for this week comes down to about the top five tragic deaths that happened in wrestling. And as far as tragic goes, just something that, you know, was an absolute mistake to happen in wrestling. And these are now in chronological order, so I just want to go through them. Of course, first, Owen Hart. I mean, he died. It was a tragic accident. He rappelled from the top of the ring. I think it was Over the Top was the name of the pay-per-view back in May of 1999. I saw it, watched it, couldn't believe it. Didn't actually see the impact take place, but however, it was something. The next night on Monday Night Raw was really emotional. Everybody broke kayfabe and just totally paid their dues, and I don't really want to say much more about it. That was a horrible, horrible match. After that, you've got Eddie Guerrero. In 2005, he died of, I believe it was a heart attack. He would still be in the WWE today if he would have made through what had happened to him. God forbid that happened. So Eddie Guerrero was somebody. He's been through a lot as far as with the ECW, the WCW, wrestled in Japan, from Mexico, WWE champion. He was somebody that just really knew how to steal the spotlight with the whole Mamacita. Everyone remembers that. Eddie mows my lawn. So that was a popular sign. But we'll remember Eddie Guerrero for the fact that he died way before his time. Then you've got Road Warrior Hawk. Again, that was another sad thing. Who can think of a better tag team than the Road Warriors? Nobody. NWA, WCW, WWE, WWF. The Road Warriors, Legion of Doom. Road Warrior Hawk was, everyone remembers All What a Rush. So to lose somebody like him, all he's accomplished and the way he went, it's something truly horrible. 347-884-8452. Please call in. Let me know what you think about these picks. After that, we've got Macho Man Randy Savage. Is an individual, probably the best person to ever cut a promo. Everybody remembers his intensity, his run in the WWF. With the Mega Powers Explode, he wrestled Andre the Giant, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, WrestleMania 4, won the tournament match, and lost it to Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 5 again. Macho Man, a WrestleMania mainstay, a WCW mainstay, part of the NWO. Nobody is ever going to forget snapping to a Slim Jim, Macho Man Randy Savage. Lastly, I want to bring up the Von Erichs, Mike, David, Kerry, and Chris. They all, except for David, he was the only one to die from natural causes, which was pretty weird circumstances. The rest of them decided to take their own life, which is very sad, very horrible. WCCW in Tennessee, Dallas Sports, not in Tennessee, I'm sorry, Texas, Dallas Sports Sportatorium. This was a dynasty of wrestling that just crumbled underneath his feet. Founder Fritz Von Erich back in the 50s was a huge heel, a mainstay in wrestling, had a dynasty again with his sons, five sons. Kevin's the only one that remains. I think in 2005 at WrestleMania, he accepted the Hall of Fame for his family. But Kerry, Chris, Mike all died with self-inflicted death. So that's something really sad. You want to talk about the most tragic deaths in wrestling history? These, within the last 10 years, 15 years, are the ones that really are a mainstay. You've got honorable mentions with Brian Pillman and, you know, of course, Kurt Hennig. You've got Ravishing Rick Rude, Boss Man. But those are the ones that I really want to focus on that I thought were something to really that really changed the course of wrestling. So Chris Featherstone, Pancakes and Power Slams. Also catch him on Bleak Report, WrestlingInc.com. Chris Featherstone, take it away from here.
Thank you very much. All righty. Wonderful. And just want to go through some names. He did a great job. Of course, Kurt Hennig, Brian Pillman, British Bulldog, Owen Hart was very tragic, as Derek said. Randy Savage, it was really sad to see him. And, of course, the Von Erichs. I mean, just suicide. And Chris, I really, it was Chris and Kerry that committed suicide. Then Michael died of some type of, Derek is still on, the air. I think it was some type of stomach virus or
I think that was David, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was David, yeah.
Parade of the Champions.
Yep. Yeah, he almost, that was in honor of David, and that's when Kerry beat Flair for the NWA world title. He only kept it for like 3 weeks or so, but
21 days.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Chris killed himself, I believe. He was the youngest. Unfortunately, Kevin killed himself, had some drug related issues as well. And then we missed some. Was it Michael?
Kerry.
I'm sorry?
Texas Tornado.
Yeah, I said Kerry. Yeah, he died. It was drug related issues and he was abusing and. Depression and things like that led him to kill himself. So Chris and Kerry
is the only one around.
Yeah, Kevin is the only one around. The one who.
What was the difference between Kevin and his brothers? As far as their wrestling.
Kevin did not wrestle in boots. He wrestled with his feet.
Yes. He was always barefoot.
Yeah, he wrestled with his feet. So That was very fun and interesting. I remember when I was a kid, I would follow WCCW, and Kevin Von Erich was one of the biggest wrestlers that I remembered, because I would always wonder, like, when are you going to put some shoes on? And him and Jimmy Snuka was the two wrestlers that I remember the most that did not wrestle in boots. And very, very interesting. I would wonder if that would just hurt, like if that would just be, you know, just kind of taxing on your feet to wrestle for so many years without any boots on. I would imagine he had probably had more traction on the ropes. He was a very aerial superstar. But Guerrero was very tragic. He was only 38 when he died. He was in his 38th year. He was born in 67, died in 2005. Really sad. He really got his life together and was really an inspiration in the locker room. JBL always says many good things about him. Batista says many good things about him. Of course, Chavo. Of course, Ray. He was such an inspiration in the locker room. It's very, very sad to see him pass at that point in time. Rick Rude, another one. He was hitting his 50s. He was just about 50, and just some wear and tear that just kind of led to some unfortunate physical problems with his body. There's some suspicion as far as chemicals being related in that too. Boss Man, some issues with his physical body. Chris Holly, there was some suspicion, there was some alleged drug, you know, use, and which led to I think they said something about him like choking his own vomit, something crazy like that. Just really sad. For that passing. I think he was 33 or 34, something around there. Doink just recently passed. Even X-Pac made a comment that he doesn't find it surprising because they were in rehab together, and he was just really going through it and just going through some having some drug issues. So it was really sad. Road Warrior Hawk was a big one to me. Died in the early 2000s. I remember I was in I think I was in a lab, and I was, don't remember, I think I was in college, and I was in a lab, and I found out that Road Warrior Hawk passed. And it was really sad, very, very sad that I remember, because the angle that they played with him with the, what was it, LOD 2000, and they replaced Jaws with Hawk. I mean, they replaced Hawk with Jaws. It's just really, really sad that they had that. And I definitely think that, you know, LOD was in the decent shape to have another run. They unfortunately gave us Animal and Heidenreich. I mean, they tried to bring a little bit of nostalgia, but it definitely wasn't the same as Hawk and Animal. And Draws, the LOD 2000 definitely wasn't the same. I don't even know why they decided to do that. Paul Bearer was another recent one. He gained a ton of weight over the last years, and he lost a lot of weight as well. Sometimes that can be very, very taxing on your body, and unfortunately, he passed. So, Then we had Bam Bam Bigelow. That was unfortunate that he passed in Umaga. There were some chemicals found in him as well. So, man, just a really sad list. They had this name around 15 or so. There was a recent tally on about the WWE.com has been playing the Summer Slams in 60 seconds all the way from the first one in 88. And there was an interesting article on Wrestling.com about the list of wrestlers that are deceased from SummerSlam of 91. And it was like 15 wrestlers. John Tolos, Andre the Giant, Kurt Hennig. There was just a list. Big Boss Man was another one. There was just a list of wrestlers. It's really sad to say all. I mean, all the wrestlers and personnel and managers that were involved in that, just for all that number to be so high. I mean, granted, it was 22 years ago, but a chunk of these wrestlers have been gone for quite some time. So, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you know, it is very sobering to talk about things like this, but, you know, it just does more to appreciate the business. It's just such a hard business that that the wrestlers engage themselves in, and it definitely should be taken. I mean, you know, we have our abilities to critique the wrestlers, critique, you know, what they do, you know, in the ring. But, I mean, they have lives like we do. And it's really unfortunate to really see people go down these paths. And probably because of the exposure, I'm not sure, but it seems like pro wrestling is a group that has so many drug-related deaths. It's just really sad. It just really shows how much the wear and tear is on a pro wrestler. And just very, very sad. But on a lighter note, that's our show. Looks like there's been classical music playing for most of the show. We'll get that taken care of. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being in the chat room. Chat room has been lively tonight. And let's see here. I think I might have asked a question. One final question. Two AWA alumni who are in the Hall of Fame. I'll let that linger until next week. I'll ask that for sure. I'll ask that next week. All right. Thank you so much. And, of course, follow at Crave Wrestling, Facebook at Crave Wrestling. Follow me on Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, and of course on WrestlingInc.com, Chris Featherstone. Just have a lot of fun, Retro Wednesday. That's always real fun. Tune in for that. And until next week, have a great week of wrestling, and enjoy your week. God bless. Goodbye.